This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And always be seen as man and wife, fulfilling the deen. From this day on, forever be true.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the most merciful. All praise is due to Allah, and may His peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Begin by greeting all my brothers and sisters, saying, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Last time, we spoke about male-female relationships. We spoke about the non-personal factors that dictate our perception of male and female relationship. And today, inshallah, we'll be talking about how does that factor out in the relationships that we have. Generally speaking, when we look out there, is that there are two types of relationships amongst men and women. There is one that we refer to as a connection, and there is one that we refer to as a relationship, meaning that in the way that men and women relate to one another, it's either a connection or it is a relationship. What is a connection? By connection, we mean the following. It's a temporary agreement between the man and the woman, a short-term association based on the mutual misuse of each other's bodies. Literally speaking, that is what a connection is. It's a short-term agreement, a short-term association, where people have agreed to misuse and abuse each other's bodies. Now, as people meet, we don't say, hey, would you like to abuse me and I abuse you back? That's not how people do it. But ultimately, this is really what they are doing to one another. Okay? Even though they would reject this definition of it, but reality, this is really what's happening. I'll give you an example. When I was in the U.S., I would see some of my high school, when I was in high school, I'll see some of the people in high school, you know, they're getting together, and, you know, they're just doing some obscene things as they are in the classroom or outside the classroom. And this is the first time that I'm seeing this in my life. So I go to them and I say, so, when did you get married? People will look at me and they say, who said anything about marriage? And I would say, and I would question what it is that they were doing. And they would say, well, we just like each other for right now. And that used to shock me. And I would say, why would anybody be emotionally investing with someone knowing that this is going to go nowhere? Why would they do this? It never made sense to me. The idea of boyfriend, girlfriend never made sense to me. Why would somebody be emotionally investing with someone knowing that it is going nowhere? And you would go to the guy and say, would you marry this girl? And say, whew, no way. But why are you with her? You ask the same thing of a girl, would you marry this guy? Say, no way, big ears, I would never marry him. And the question is, but why are you with them? Well, you know what? What happens is that what? It's a short-term agreement to misuse and abuse each other's bodies. And this has gone so bad, this idea of misusing and abusing each other's body, you can only speak of others in physical terms. And we will say more about this. But this is something that's maybe related more into the West. I don't know if you have it here or not. Girls Gone Wild, that is supposedly a document. It's not a documentary, but it's not a movie. I'm not even sure what to call it. It's a DVD that you buy. And usually what it is that somebody has decided to go around college campuses in the U.S. where people just go wild. And most of the time it is girls gone wild. And what it is that these people, it's very disgraceful and despicable. They would be behaving in a very animalistic way. And you actually buy these videos. But this had such an impact on the U.S. that USA Today was listing 25 trends that changed America. What are the 25 things that changed America? And number 23 was this series of DVDs, Girls Gone Wild. These girls are not paid. The guy goes into the college campus announcing that, you know what, Girls Gone Wild is going to be on campus today. And they have cameras. The girls come in. They sign a contract where they get no money for it. And they start going wild. And later on, these DVDs are sold. And they have made so much money with it. Media is shaping and dictating our perception of the others. So it is very common that men can speak about women only in flesh terms. Okay? Now, what kind of connections do people have? There is the flesh connection, and by that we mean, simply it's the definition of what we spoke about, and that is, it is a temporary agreement to misuse and abuse each other's bodies. But then what attracts us to that person initially is the flesh. And you're literally, because this is what you're after, this is what you're attracted to. You're only attracted to the flesh. And you can only speak of the other person in physical terms. So you ask, oh, mashallah, so you're with this person? Say, yeah. So what do you like about her? Oh, she's got great nose. She's got great nose. That's all you can say about them. What else? Oh, I like her hair. That's nice, but what else? Beautiful eyes. Yes, but what else? They can only speak of the other person in physical terms. Why? Because that's all they're attracted to. That's all they care about. So they speak about the others only in flesh and physical terms. I remember one time I had a client I was doing counseling to, and poor girl, she had, you know, issues with self-esteem. So I said, you know, I want you to go home, and next week when we meet back in the office, I want you to come back and tell me 5 things that you like about yourself. 5 things that you like about yourself. We'll talk about self-esteem in great details later on when we're looking for the person that we want to be with. So she goes home, and she comes back next week, and I said, well, you did your homework? And she said, yes, I did my homework. I said, okay, 5 things that you like about yourself. With a big smile on her face, she said, I like my hair. I like my fingernails. And she said, I like my skin. And I like my teeth, because she just had them whitened. And I looked into all the 5 things that she has mentioned. They all had to do with physical terms. And I said, but why? Because we are assigning values to one another, especially to women, on the basis of physical terms. So as such, people start seeing themselves. And when I said, what do you feel good about yourself? She attributed all to what? To her physical appearance. And that is very, very sad. Okay? So flesh is the first one. Or sometimes we are temporarily attracted to a person because of a cash connection. We can only speak about another person in terms of their usefulness. Well, what do you like about him? Well, he buys me stuff. Okay? What do you like about him? Every time we go out, he pays for the dinner. Okay? What else do you like about him? The other day, he bought me a necklace. Okay, what else? Or the other day, he filled the gas in my car. So you can only speak about their usefulness. Like an orange, you take, you squeeze, and once done, what happens? You throw it away. So we are connected to them simply because of their cash, their usefulness to us. And of course, that makes us very selfish. It makes us people with no conscience whatsoever. And by the way, in the process, we may even convince or lie to ourselves that we are in love. And in reality, we are not in love at that point. Okay? Or sometimes there is the idea of force. How do you force somebody to love you? You can't. So what do you force? Just a temporary connection. On the basis of your usefulness to them, they force you to stay simply because of how much say they have in your life at this point. Alhamdulillah, this is not much happening in the Muslim community, at least that I know of. But there is another type of connection, and that is the idea of dependency. What is dependency? When we become dependent, right? When what happens? By dependency, I'm talking about emotional dependency. You know what emotional dependency is? That when we depend on others for emotional support, or when we direct our emotional energy to somebody else. Let me give you an example. I once gave a lecture on what we call emotional affairs. Okay. Usually people think an affair is what? An intimate relationship that takes place between either a married man and a married woman, or one of the people is married. Yet they go and they have an affair. We say that they cheated on each other. But there is another type of affair that we call an emotional affair. And that is when people start investing emotionally with somebody other than their spouse. So this is how it works. Usually, most of the time, a person is in the office and they look very sad and they look very depressed. Somebody walks up to them and they say, what's going on? Say, no, nothing. No, no, come on, really, talk to me. What's going on? Say, man, it's just problems with my wife. Say, you know what, we're going to talk about it over lunch. It's very common, for example, in the US, for people to go out for lunch together. So you go there, and what do? You pour your heart out to that person. You open up to that person. You tell them, you know what, my wife is giving me, or my husband is giving me a hard time, and I am feeling this way and that way. So what happens is that you're becoming now what? You're becoming emotionally dependent on somebody other than your spouse. A subject that we will talk about in great details, inshallah, as we move on. But these are the type of connections that are happening. And then, of course, there is a real relationship, a committed relationship. And by this, of course, we're talking about marriage. However, here are the components and the definition. Unlike a connection, which was a short-term relationship, this is a long-term commitment, association, that is based on the following: the happiness, the well-being, and the development of the other person. If you are in it for the flesh, do you care whether that person is happy or not? Of course you don't. You're getting what you want, therefore, their happiness does not really matter to you. If you're in it for the cash, do you care for their well-being? Of course you don't. As long as they're being useful to you, you don't care. And if you are in it for the flesh and the cash or what have you, you don't care for the development simply because what? Because you're getting what you want. But in a real committed ethical relationship, this is what you care for: the happiness of the other person. You know, I tell people that a happy marriage is not about a wedding, a great wedding night. A happy marriage is not about a wedding license. What does a wedding license do? It just documents the event. It just says on day of this and this, such and such person, you know, they willingly gotten married. But it does not guarantee a happy life, does it? Whoever people happy because they have a wedding license? Of course not. What does a wedding license do then? It brings in an ethical value to the relationship. That we're doing this and we're doing it publicly, and it's so good that we are, you know, proud to record it. Then what makes a happy marriage? A happy marriage is not when two people get married to be happy. A truly happy marriage is when two people get married to make each other happy. That is what a happy marriage is. It's not about them making me happy, but rather it's about us. It's about two people getting married to make each other happy. So here is, you've got this happiness. No, my happiness stems from the happiness of my wife, and her happiness stems from the fact that she's making me happy. So it's not about what can the other person do to me, but rather it is, I am in this because I care about the happiness of the other person. And with this, inshallah, we will take a short break and we will be back. So please do stay tuned.